honourable member, can I then, with your permission, request the acting DG to introduce himself and the team to us, and then guide us through the presentation. My acting DG, let me give you a request that you give us an indication of how long the presentation will be, so that I will know when to give over to the members of the House to engage with you. The answer is that they'll try to do it in 30 minutes. We appreciate that. Over to you, please.
Honorable Chair and honorable members and colleagues here, my name is Kha'u Mawai. I'm actually the EDG responsible for corporate management. But today I am acting for the Director General, Ambassador Machida, who is on duty. I'm assisted here by the CFO on my left, Mr. Kirita Mashao, and the Chief Director in Planning and the Chief Operating Officer Office, General Scopus. And we have in our midst our colleague from the Chief Business Office, Ms. Kavi Mubukanele, and our Parliamentary Officer is Mr. Sarai Masele. It's a wasting time, Honorable Chair members. I'll just take you through to the presentation. I'm going to make a short overview and then hand over to Ms. Kotze to take us through program by program of the APP, which will infuse in the strategic objectives from the strategic plan. As members will know, the strategic plan is a 5-year plan, but every year it gets reviewed. And the only review part that is very important for this briefing is the strategic objectives. And thereafter, the CFO will take us through the MTF allocations and related. And then all other matters under the financial aspect of the APP. Honorable members, from the introduction there, we indicated that we have tabled a bill which is now currently with the Portfolio Committee on Foreign Service, which will be a foreign service bill, which will provide for the management, administration, and functioning of the Foreign Service of South Africa, which is currently without any legislation. We also have the draft white paper. In the previous term, we presented to this honorable committee, select committee, in the fourth term, I believe, and it is still with the portfolio committee, the white paper on foreign policy, which was approved by cabinet in 2012. And then this one provides a framework for the mandate of the department. As members, honorable members will be aware, we are on under MTNF outcome 11, in which it is about the creation of a better South Africa and a contribution to a better and safer Africa in a better world. So the bulleted things are the elements of the outcome that we will not dwell much on, but most importantly to emphasize the fact that our plan enhances African agenda and sustainable development, regional integration, and reform of global governance institutions, etc. Over the medium term, the department spending focus will mainly be on sustenance of economic and political relations, which is the mantra of our current policy outlook. We don't only look at the political, we look at economic relations as well, in line with our economic diplomacy approach. Participation in the global governance forums, enhancement of operational capacity by strengthening policy and coordination in relation to outgoing South African development cooperation by operationalizing the South African Development Partnership Agency, which will be the successor to the current African Renaissance Fund. So we are in pursuit of the AU program of Agenda 2063, and then as we said earlier, We hope that our bill will be processed through this current financial year, and then undertake various infrastructure projects and implementing property management strategy. In the interest of time, Honorable Chair, in as we have indicated earlier, we do not want to belabor the point, as they are widely covered in our presentation. I just want to take you through on the slide and talk to you. Our current global stature, in our execution of South Africa's foreign policy, we are informed by our global stature, where our country is a respected, active, and responsible global citizen. We are host to the second largest number of foreign representation in the world, and therefore is a, and we also have a current global print of 125 million. Each attention also members to the fact that this signifies they tend to wish as a country we will not have enemies, but because of the manner in which we are represented and in which we hold representation. We are also still regarded as a champion of protection and promotion of human rights, and that we advocate for disarmament and peaceful resolution of disputes, and we place Africa central to our foreign policy, which forms the basis for cooperation, not only with our own continent, but with the South and the North. We still champion cooperation and partnership over competition. Our approach is that of cooperation, collaboration, and not competition. Here we just show our footprint as evidenced by our flag there, that we are having our global footprint as such, and we operate within a global environment that is impacting on our mandate. For example, as honorable members will know, that there is a rise in terrorism where it has taken a different form due to decentralized and splinter groupings that are making it difficult to fight, but a common fight against what is called terrorist attacks. And we also are part of the world and the globe where the main thing is slow economic growth, which is impacting very badly on us. And as we know, the whole global economy is only expected to grow by 3.2% in this current financial year, and developing country growth will be at least 5.3%. And because of our attachment to the traditional North and West, ours is highly impacted upon, and our growth is well known to be, it's forecast to be just below a percentage. So we are affected by currency fluctuations and low commodity prices, chiefly the oil prices, and whereby countries dependent on oil exports have become increasingly inward-looking, as is commonly known. Honorable Chair, I'll move on to the fact that on the positive side, a growing sense of new formations and regional groupings, well known as the BRICS and the Group of 20, with the CIGRES, which is the countries which are characterized as countries having a diverse and dynamic economy, and with a young growing population, which is mainly made of Colombia, Indonesia, Vietnam, Egypt, and our country. And there is also this Indian Ocean Rim Association, IORA, in which we are playing an important role. I must stop here, Honorable Chair, to then give over to my colleague to take us through the program of the ACP, after which our CFO will then talk to the finances. I thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. I don't know whether it was the same department when you had to present to us last time, had a problem as well with the person that is, regardless of problems with the voice, came to the presentation. Thanks very much.
For
the same department. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim. Then in terms of the annual performance plan, the strategic plan, from the strategic plan, we have our strategic objectives that are identified, and then our targets and our APP, and then, of course, also our five-year targets. But if we look at our APP, many of our targets for Program 1, being the administration program, is prescribed by the legislative mandate, as well as the impact standard. So, for example, the maintenance of supply system 30 days, filling post within 4 months, solving your grievances within 30 days, and so forth. So we never found it mandated on the legislative prescription, and that's what we have to make sure that we use some instrument to do that. And then our Diplomatic Academy, we have particularly focused on the training program, internal, as well as for our regional diplomats, for particularly focusing on peace conflict and reconstruction and mediation. And then, of course, we also have an internal interpretation and translation capacity, and then we have a research unit as well. So that would be the focus particularly for Program 1. Program 2 is our international relations, and particularly our bilateral work is the focus in Program 2. And we have a two-pronged approach. We have a political focus, and we have an economic focus. Our economic focus is particularly the work that our missions are doing abroad, to look at trade investment, to make sure that we have potential investors and so forth. So when we look at our targets that we've been set for Program 2, for our political work, it would be particularly our structured bilateral mechanisms, because that is the kind of agreement that we would have with identified countries, so we would be honoring those. We're looking at 34 structured bilateral mechanisms and 46 annual visits that we have. With regard to economic diplomacy, this is the work particularly around our mission that indicated. So we're looking at the trade and investment seminars that we would have. We're then inviting South African businesses to come and host some seminars, to do some exports of their products in order to make sure that we can need to market South African products. Engagement with chambers of commerce, if there are particular issues around trade barriers, then our missions will engage around that to make sure that we have access to those markets as well. Targeted government ministries, particularly around education, for example, to look at scholarships that we can create for South Africans. We're looking at science and technology, transfer knowledge as well. And then, of course, engagement with high-level potential investment and the tourism promotion activity. So that's the focus for our bilateral program, which is Program 2. In terms of Program 3, which is our international cooperation, so that's global governance. It refers particularly to our multilateral work as well as the work that we do with the continent, particularly around the AU. So, of course, we know that the focus of South Africa is around multilateralism. It's a rules-based international order, working with regard in the UN agencies and all the processes and the meetings. So we have looked particularly and identified 25 multilateral meetings and processes, particularly around peace and security, sustainable development. For example, the work that we're doing in ECOSOC, our human rights, for example, work that we're doing in the Human Rights Commission, Human Rights Council in Geneva, international crime and international law as well. So we're looking at making sure, as the NDC has asked, that South Africa needs to remain an influential member of the international community, and we do that through our participation at the multilateral meetings and processes. That was on global governance. Our sub-program in Program 3 is Continental and Regional Cooperation. This is with regard to the African Union and SADC, South African Development Community. And we're looking particularly at the implementation of the Continental Integration Agenda and the African Agenda 2063, the work around peace, conflict, reconstruction and development, promotion of good governance through the ATRM, the protection of human rights, and then, of course, the NIPAD programs that we are supporting as well as the presidential program. So our targets that we're looking at there is what role can we play as those particular continental structures where decisions are made for the continent and it can be implemented and monitored. So we're looking at the AU. We have just been re-elected at January 8th to another 2 years at the AU PSC. So we'll serve another 2 years. So it's two consecutive terms that we're serving at the AU PSC. We're looking at, we know that we're hosting the summit, so of course we will continue to provide support there, and then of course the ATRA Fund, and as an course in human and people rights. Then on Program 3, we also have our focus with regard to South-South cooperation, so as well as our North-South. So in terms of our South-South cooperation, we're looking at the structures like the role that we play in BRICS, the role that we play in ISTA. We've just now doing the vice chair of IORA, the Indian Ocean Rim Association, and we will take over the chairship of IORA within 2018. So we have identified for this year 19 processes within the Indian ISTA, within the Indian BRICS, IORA, in terms of the work that we were doing to make sure that South Africa's national interests are promoted as well as the interests of the South. So we will have common visions of the South to make sure that our developing countries have a voice in the national sphere. Then in terms of the North, we're thinking basically of CTAD, thinking of the EU and the work that we're doing there. I know that we have a strong parliamentary association where the Parliament of South Africa and the EU Parliamentary Programme, they meet quite regularly as well. So of course we're looking at those formations as well, that we see how we can actually leverage that to the advantage of South Africa. Then that was our core work, but then we also have a very important leg in terms of our program 4, and it's our public diplomacy is the one sub-program, and state protocol is the other one. Our public diplomacy work is premised on an annual strategy where they've utilized, and they will be utilizing particular platforms and partnerships to make sure that both locally or domestically as well as internationally, South Africa is being promoted. So we think of our public participation programs that our principals have to do. We think of the opinion pieces that we will issue and that we find in the media, our media briefings that our principals do regularly to inform the South African public on what is happening and why we make certain decisions. So that is an understanding and awareness of South Africa's foreign policy. Then our another sub-program, which is an aspect protocol, and then of course all international visits and all international engagements is mandated according to particular protocols, and then our state protocol provides a very important service there. So they offer our service on request to the principals, to the DCS of government, our resident foreign diplomats. We know that we have a mutual agreement there according to the Vienna Convention that we have to provide certain diplomatic immunities and privileges, and this is a program that will be providing this to our resident diplomats from other countries in South Africa. And then, of course, we have our consular services, which is the service that our mission is abroad for the South African family. So if the South African is based abroad, then they can go to a mission, and our consular services will be providing them a service under the same program that that service is offered. And that takes care of the content of the plan. I will now hand over with the permission of the chair and our acting DG, our CFO, to take us through the NTS allocation.
Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity, Chair. I'm not sure all of you are. My job is tough in terms of sharing the bad news that we have to table here. As all of you members can recall that we are faced with a situation where we don't have enough percentage in terms of economic growth, which then affected the allocation that we receive. So in terms of the MTF allocation, for the first time, we have received a reduction in the budget allocation. So what we have tabled previously during the planning was then subsequently revised based on the cabinet decision on the 13th of January. So that is the information that we will be sharing for cabinet meetings before the month of March. So in a space that we operate, that we tried by all means to realize the plans that we have just presented with the allocation that we need to then work. So in terms of the spending, we also look at how can we then maintain or contain costs so that we can then continue providing the services in support to the global footprint that we have as a department, which we have run about 124 missions abroad, which is the main cost driver in terms of how we then allocate the budget. Now, if we can look at the challenges that we have in terms of the situation which we find ourselves, we witnessed the budget cuts, which puts the stress, we are not mitigated, and we also look at cash management in terms of the things that we operate in the department. We then have to manage tech that we have enough liquidity in terms of the cash to honor our needs. Now we look at these challenges and threats, we look at the costs that we operate in the global community, which then we have to deal with the issue of foreign exchange rate fluctuation. So that is the major threat or cost of what we do, and that is then also look at the unfunded mandate in terms of the regulation that we then committed the country in terms of, one, if we look at the assessment contribution that we have to make to the AU based on outcome of the AU summit, the 25th summit of self-reliance, that in terms of the contribution that we need to make as a country has been significantly increased, which we need to manage that. And now the implication to that is that if we don't manage properly, we then have witnessed the underachievement of our targets that we've set over them. And we also look into a scene where we then incur an authorized expenditure as a result of foreign exchange rate fluctuation. And then, which will then find the expression in terms of how we operate our cash in terms of overdrawn account, which we can report here, Honorable Chair, that we have not have an overdrawn account. We transfer money to the funds that we have in terms of financial prudence. But if we then come to the figure, we had the, in terms of the budget for 2015, we had received an indicative baseline of 5.9 billion as the budget for 2016-17. Now, based on the cost containment and reprioritization of government programs to fund areas that were not funded in the allocation, we then witnessed that we had to reduce our deadline by 153 million in 2016-17, which is our current budget. Over the MTEF period, which is here, one which is 1718, we then have to set budget reduction of 783 million. In 2018-19, the cut will be 1 billion and 7 million in terms of budget, which is, comes to 1.8 billion over the FTP. So that is the reduction that we have effected in the budget in compliance with the cabinet directive of the January. So now the area that are affected in terms of where we then identify that, one is on competition employees. So the budget for the current financial year that we want to be considered for 1670 is no reduction. Because in terms of that process, we have initiated some processes. So the bigger card is on the African American Fund, the Richard Foundation, which is 88 million, and we also look at the support in terms of how Treasury uses use of satellite mission stations in terms of the cost containment measures that we've implemented, which come to 65 million. So in the process, we're trying to have a better coordination on the share and all members. We have agreed with all of us to in terms of the transfer of the services that are rendered abroad, the officials that are stationed in missions abroad that are seconded from some office, if now the budget has been transferred to DECO to manage better in terms of coordination. But they are still employees of women. That's through secondment in terms of where they are placed. So, all in all, the proposed budget, which is taken by the minister by 5.8 billion, for the 1670 and for 1780 is 5.9 billion and for the 1819 is 6.1 billion. So this is the budget that is talking to a strategic plan as we have tabled in earlier. So just to give an assessment what we did a baseline assessment to say what are the areas that are highly affected, what can we do differently to accommodate without necessarily compromising the services that we are or to provide in terms of the target that we've set for them. So the area that we look at is that we've got compensating employees, which we have started a process of review of our organizational function management. We've concluded the review for head of component. Now we are currently reviewing our mission component in terms of how we align our work in terms of new technologies. But just want to indicate that closing of mission in our assessment, it is not an option. Precisely with the gains that we've made in the 22 years that we've seen the expansion in terms of our global footprint. And then we look at the other code product, which is our leasing abroad. But in terms of the foreign service disposition, we are mandated to provide accommodation for the staff and station, including the office space. Majority of not all information we are rented. So which is that we have got a higher lease portfolio in terms of that. So only around about 123 properties abroad, which doesn't cater for where we are located. So we are looking in terms of that approach. And also look at the transfer payment. As we are a member of the United Nations, we are ought to pay our due in full when we are assessed. These are compulsory transfer payments that we need to make. So we look at the budget and say, what can we do differently in terms of the reduction? We start in 2017. The plan to reduce our operating leases. One, we are busy pursuing a acquisition property strategy on how we need to do that. We are currently working with the additional treasury in terms of taking that program. And we look at in terms of the land portion that we have to say we need to develop that so that we can then enjoy the benefit in terms of managing the risk that are associated with this. And we also look at the revamping or restoring the restoration cost for property that we own that we have not been attained. Most of the property that we have in our portfolio, they have acquired for quite some time. So we have challenges in terms of how we need to maintain that. And we also encourage our officials that are transferred to then review the arrangement that we should go to fully finished apartments, which then eliminate the issue of asset management as part of the solution. We also look at the way we give the transfer other benefits that we need to manage. So in terms of the budget allocation that we presented with the program, we can see that the adjusted appropriation that we that was approved late last year for administration is 1.3 million, and the expectation is that the amount will then grow to 1.5. That's one thing on our room number that the increase it is not based on the fact that there's a huge effect. And this is the adjustment that we see with the adjustment is in terms of the funding of the aid summit as well as the focus conference. So we didn't receive additional funding to host the two conference summits that we hosted. So based on the fact that they were proud and once off, we then suspend certain projects in order to then cater for the projects that we committed. So the 1.5 million is just to restore the baseline where it was in terms of the commitment that we want to continue. And then for international relations, the adjusted estimate is 3.5 billion. The current budget, that's for 16.7 billion. So you can note the number, the reduction, and the part that we want to emphasize here is that in terms of the foreign exchange rate for adjustment, we have an agreement with National Treasury that the adjustment on the foreign exchange will be done during the adjustment estimate, which is closer to terms of the estimate to see what whether the revenue will perform better or what adjustment is required. So we're no longer receiving an adjustment during the allocation, we receive the adjustment during the appropriation of October. So the amount that program two, it also includes the foreign exchange rate adjustment. So we are comfortable that the money is fine. In terms of the public diplomacy, 506 million, that is the allocation, which we share with state protocol. And we also have the state protocol, 264 million. And we then have transfer payments. So this is a huge impact on the region. But the adjustment that we received, which included foreign exchange rate adjustment, which amounted to 704 million in the previous year, the current allocation is 550 million, which doesn't include the foreign exchange rate adjustment.
So we can then move, Honorable Chair, to this is the detail of program 1, which is page 25, just to repeat in terms of the sub-program that we have, which I already explained in the overall summary in terms of that. And then the next page is economic application in terms of how we break down. Then we then have the program 2, international relations, which will then indicate that the allocation that is the table before this committee is 3 billion. And the economic classification, which is basically a combination of employees, goods and services, transfer and subsidies, as well as payment of capital assets. So this is the allocation program, 506 million, and next is program 4, which is our public diplomacy, and we then indicated in terms of that sub-program that the budget for that is 16,769 million, and which is basically there's no increase over the MTF period as we are continuing the cost. The same protocol, which is basically the services that we do in terms of how we then provide protocol services to our guests, which are VIP, as well as incoming and outgoing visits, and also the maintenance of our protocol lounges at the airport. So this is the allocation of 193 million, which remain constant in terms of cost containment measures. Inflation transfer, as I indicated, the current allocation is 150 million, which is over the MTF, is that slight increase in terms of how we then assess in terms of the current transfer payment that we are honoring. So this is the allocation for the department. One of which is can allow a new director of the public entity that is within the call that we manage, the ARF, in terms of its allocation. The ARF is a currency which we have is established in terms of section 2, subsection 1 of the African Rights of the International Cooperation Fund Act of 2000. So this is subject to the direction of the minister and is under the control of the Director General. Then the fund in terms of utilization basically used in consultation with the Minister of Finance. So there's a concurrence that we require from the Minister of Finance when we take on projects in terms of the process that we do. So there are, in terms of the advisory committee assist the two executives in coming with the approval in terms of the appointments. So team from the National Treasury as well as DICO that then oversee the utilization of the funds. Then the in terms of the first indicator, in terms of the strategic objectives of the fund, so which to promote democracy and good governance, and in that as the responsive criteria, we then support the holding of democratic elections and identify countries in the continent which the parliament also play an important role in fostering that in terms of the money. So we then provide our target is 100% of approved investment funds in terms of the support of democracy and the government. And we also contribute to the humanitarian human resource development in terms of the training, some of the trainings that are offered to the foreign nationals in terms of our direct translation through the diplomatic academy is financed through resources. And then we also support socio-economic development and integration in terms of what we need to do in terms of assisting the country, the continent in taking measures. And also, one of the objectives is also to get the humanitarian assistance and disaster relief that we provide in terms of the disaster that we are witnessing, as well as the drought situation, which we have just included, delivering maize to Namibia in terms of that process and also need to support the cooperation between South Africa and other countries in terms of financial cooperation that we entered. Some of the projects that we do is to provide assistance to the Cubans who are providing medical assistance to the Sierra Leone in terms of that connection. We see it working very well. So in terms of the funding, we have commitment that has been made in terms of validation. I want to 703 million, which talks to the problem that we indicated. So the development in terms of how the money is then sent to an implementing agency is based on the progress made. So we then have the assessment. So the MTF allocation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we have an indicative baseline that we had when we received the MTF allocation. Based on the cost containment measure, we then witnessed the reduction in the allocation, which is recapitalization of the funds. Now, the reduction for 2016-17 is 430 million, which basically what is being appropriated is a nominal amount of 31,000. So this 31,000 is informed on the basis, the next stage of our budget, that the fund also has accumulated capacity. So whatever money that is unspent at the end of the financial year is retained within the fund. So currently the accumulated surplus at the end of 2015-16, we then have 1.7 billion. So which means the funds that are available to the fund is 1.7 billion. So we have a billion rand which is not committed, which will be available to take on new projects. So the reason is that we have got 1.7 billion and we have not moved in the pace that we anticipated, based on the fact that there is still work in progress in terms of the operationalization of FRAPA, which can talk to the partnership fund for development, which is still need to come to the August House for approval. So, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much to the management to present that to us. I know that Honorable Zihala has a question related to what amount you allocated to the province of Limpopo. But honourable members, we've received it. Can we agree that we're going to be very quick to our questions? I'm going to be very liberal in terms of the questions and say, let's confine ourselves to a maximum of 5. We'll take that in groups of 3. I notice Honourable Father, can I see other hands? Honourable Tev and then Honourable Lot. Let's take those 3 first, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm glad that you're listening to the looking better as we go on. I really do like that. Things are all getting better the longer they go on. It's only till 11th now. Don't worry. Okay, Chair, I'd like to know, I see that the budget's been cut from 6.5 million, obviously, to 5.9 million, which is quite a lot. And I mean, if you think about the currency rate, exchanges, etc. Now, obviously, the most cost is then as well property and stock all around the world. And I understand that we have to have a wide global footprint. But I also think that we should think of how the missions perform, and you know, what we call always in return on investment. And, you know, if we look at where the most expenses are, should we not look at something maybe like the Visegrad Group, which is for European nations like Poland, Czech, Slovakia, and Hungary, that went together like in Cape Town, where they use one premises? Should we not look at that instead of pulling out of countries where we have very expensive properties that we might be renting in places. Should we not, it's a proposal that I'm making, I'm saying, should we not, instead of pulling out of it and quite cutting costs, maybe look at things like that, because maybe as part of the African Union, we can maybe get together like that B4 group and save dramatically on cost. That's just the question that is. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chair.
I think we are dealing with a department that is exposed to conditions not of their making a choice. Most difficult deal with the budgetary pressures. One other issue that I would want explicitly to be explained here, Phil, is our developmental agenda. How does it speak to the Africa we want, Agenda 2063? How do we talk about issues of seamless and proper coordination? I saw that you spoke about issues of trade penetration, but it's limited, it's minimal. And I know that the challenges, and your slides exposed to them, we still face challenges of infrastructural development, which we know is a reality. It will cost us a lot, and with the perception that we have globally and domestically, that South Africa needs to be promoted from a developing country to a developed country. It poses challenges to us. If you can see the EU support to us has been cut by 75% almost. And that brings us to a very difficult situation. EU is also saying to us that they want to have serious end into our SACU arrangement. In fact, they want to have individual or separate trade agreements separate from the SACU agreement, which we know that South Africa is carrying the burden, both financially and otherwise. And if EU is going to elevate South Africa to be a developed country, separate from the responsibility that we have, I can make an example now. There's an issue of terrorism there. You can't separate terrorism from migration. And in our case, South Africa is dealing with the power of migration in Africa into country. And these other issues are issues that as a developing country, we should be able to, therefore should be able to assist us to enhance it. We know that it's doing a great deal of work. The other issue that I want to raise, I had an opportunity to go to Zambia recently. Your meeting in Zambia is in a state that is not desirable. And I know that you have inflationary pressures, but the meeting in Zambia is not in the level that South Africa should be at. And I think you can look into that. One last question. I see that you are saying that the Asian players in what is are now surpassing EU in terms of the trade. The last time I checked, EU was sitting at the biggest trade partner is 83% or 73%, if I'm not mistaken. Are we having that balance coming up now? And what are we, is it to our advantage? Because we know that we are still a commodity-driven economy, but economically and otherwise, the global trend is now shifting to your financial and your commercial side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Honorable Fabo, on a lighter note, you see, I listen to my ancestors when they say I have sharpened my listening skills. What is done is that he's actually posed 1, 2, 3, 4 questions in one. I hope you... The first question is about the development agenda of South African Agenda 2063. The second one is about the European Union, its position on SACOS and on EPAS. The third one is the condition of the South African mission in Zambia and the effectiveness thereof. And then the fourth one I didn't catch properly. He's talking about the 73%, so I think he's talking about South Africa's growth potential.
Our biggest trade partner is SNG, according to me, was EU. And the report is saying the HSI is coming up in the east.
Oh.
the internal struggle is undergoing in the 80s now, studying in the field of economics and behavior, it's difficult for you to understand, but I'm sure they will help you now.
No, no, you're partly correct, but that doesn't mean that we mustn't study. But it's a combination of the study as well, and you just attended a meeting of the EU. So I can understand where those questions are coming from. Honourable Lodge?
Thank you, Dave. You indicated that you built into your budgeting fluctuations with the exchange rate. And I just want to find out, I haven't really picked up, what is that margin that you've built in? And then linked to that, after our short handing over of finance ministers last year, how does that affect your budget? I mean, because if you budget for such a big eventuality, and if you didn't, what was the shortfall you had in keeping all our missions running across the world due to that handing over process of finance ministers?
Because I only had two questions from, I mean, one from Honorable Dompa and from Honorable Papa. Can I ask another member, Honorable Dikale? I noticed your hand earlier. Are you ready to raise your questions now?
No, just as I wanted to tell you, Honorable Lord, that only God makes you look slip up. And no one will ever think about helping him to pay his way of finding your recommendation earlier on. You didn't listen.
I missed it, but you didn't hear it.
Oh, listen,
it's a guilt. I'll talk to you. It was on a lighter note, Honorable Lord. Can I slip in two of my questions? I have too many. So let me slip in two. The one is on the slide 5. You're referring to Africa by natural there, but you only have 46. Now, What's happening with the other countries or members of the EU? We're supposed to be 54. Why only bilateral with 46? Because you are saying in your strategic plan that Africa is a priority and a focus. Now, maybe there are some problems that you have there. We don't want you to give us the names of the others, but maybe to say what the dynamic are that it is limited at the moment to 46 and not the whole number. My second point would be on page 12. You did not, sorry, on slide 12. It's not in the slide, but you made reference to the issue with talking to that slide when you made reference to ECOSOC. Can you just give us an indication, is ECOSOC alive in South Africa? And if it is, who is leading that? Because my understanding is that if it's ECOSOC with the EU, that should be within the domain of civil society. Now just help me to understand when you talk about ECOSOC there, what the dynamics are there as well. Let's leave it at that for now. Over to you, Acting Chair.
Hand over first to the CFO and then
going to the first question on the budget cut and the guidance on sharing costs. Yeah, this is one of the parts that we are building in our strategy in terms of how we then push together the African agenda 2063, the Africa we want. So how do we then work together when we feel to manage in terms of the sovereignty aspect, but we feel that we can cooperate together. So we are busy developing a strategy on how best we can collaborate in terms of cost and mission as we move forward. So we take that as we look together in our strategy. So we welcome the input and example. In terms of the developmental agenda, one of the pillars that we've looked, and this is one of the issues that we realized that the countries that were now renounced the donor countries, we are now controlling, and hence that is one of the issues that
commented that the EU should then consider on issue of self-reliance in terms of how do we build the infrastructure. And in response to that, we are using the platform that we have with our partners. If one area is open, it can be helpful in terms of fast-tracking the development, in terms of the infrastructure development. So that is one area that we are looking to say, whoever is willing to give money, will give money for a specific project. For projects that are closer to our hearts, we need to find money for them. So we are using those mechanisms as the focal break. So these are the issues that we try to defend when they are these summits, to then encourage that they should be partnership in terms of retreat, and then invite all the regions, the regional economy, community, in terms of that. And that's a part of what we want to frustrate. From our side, the SATBA is basically the writing that we want to then utilize in terms of how we then frustrate our intervention. And the coordination remains a challenge in terms of how we work with one another. So, but this is the area that we have been tasked to receive the measures and guidelines on how we then coordinate our foreign policy in terms of associating with other departments. So the planning that we have for transfer is working, but it's not moving the pace that we have desired. So we are busy, it's a work in progress in terms of how we need to do it. Similarly, when we talk about the EU and TRAP, we have one of the concerns that the EU, they then sign a fair agreement with the members that we are supporting with in TRAP. So we, this is a discussion that we always have with some of the members. So we need to then be safe in terms of how we engage with one another. They can't find agreements that are contrary to what we are pushing in terms of the integration that we need to integrate our economies. So in terms
can,
of
can I just interrupt you on that one, because it's an important one. In the House on the Rulemas, someone raised the problem without casting any aspersions on anyone. Why are we not having better cooperation on the African continent? And you have now just said that coordination is a problem. It would help us. If it's okay with you, members, that I request them to just give a little bit more of the flesh on the difficulties that we're having vis-a-vis the establishment of coordination amongst the four regions on the African continent.
I think the challenge that we have is terms of whether we have the resources and the means in terms of supporting the programs that we are adopted by the EU. We've got a 10-year plan of action that was adopted in Britain. But the challenge is how do we then finance those activities? So you then have other regional communities in terms of what they focus, which is in terms of their budget, most of the countries, they receive donor funding. One country in point is then look at Malawi. So all their programs in terms of the budget is donor funding. So it would be difficult for them to then come to the party when they don't have the means in terms of saying this is what we prioritize in terms of what we have available. So that is one of the issues that we see as a challenge, which we need to find a way on how to then fast-track that. And Honorable Chief can then allow me to move to the state of the property or mission in Zambia. We have noted, Honorable Chief, that the problems that the mission in Zambia, Lusaka, is facing, it has to do with the landlord who has not able to manage. So we started a process, so we need to then find something that can definitely meet our, we're working on that, which I think by end of this year we should find a solution to that problem, which is basically moving out from that and find something that is going to be permanent.
So that is the work that we are currently doing in the mission. There's a process takes more in terms of that. So we are working on all that challenge. The budget exchange rate, the budget that we have tabled, it doesn't include the foreign exchange rate adjustment. So the adjustment, so the current rate that we have there is basically $952. So this is the allocation that was made in
9.5 range to $1.
Sir, I can't understand. You voted all our budget for $950 to the dollar. For how long has this been done?
No,
I'll
explain to you. When we started with the MTF,
the MTF allocation for 2018, so this is how we've done work. We work with Treasure in terms of that.
You look confused. I will explain later.
Yeah, but $952. This is the rate that we've agreed. Yeah, so that is what we have in our allocation. So now, the agreement was that the exchange rate fluctuation will be reviewed during the adjustment increment. Which, if you recall, a lot of members, that in 2015-16, we received additional funding of $720 million to augment for the foreign exchange rate fluctuation. So that is the arrangement. So now, in terms of that, we can say there are other factors that in the question whether the political development is thereby, we can't be able to quantify how much was the impact in terms of, because we don't have the system that we desired. So we had received 720 million as the budget that for the exchange rate for the 2016.
But you're saying that that is calculated over the financial year and not for a particular... Let's just hear any follow-up now.
I think it's clarity, but if you look at us $950 to the dollar, currently 1526 against the dollar. So how can you work out $950 to the dollar? It's a 576 difference as we speak now. So that's a substantial, it's about more than 50%. The second thing is, obviously you should know what your monthly operating expenses are. So you can go and look at what my monthly operating expenses were for the month of August, September, October, November, December, January, February, and then see, yes, like my expenses spiked December, January, February. That you should be able to know, you should be able to tell the committee what was the real cost of the changing of the finance ministers to this department, the Concord ruling to this department. It's not a thing that you say, oh, it's spread over a year. That you should have it in your department, the CEO, should be able to tell me, honourable member, this is what the real month-on-month increase was in our expenses because of that. And if you cannot do that, then there's something wrong in your system.
Let me try and answer it, because you're raising three questions. The first question related to the 9.5.
Yes.
The explanation, CEO, of the way that I view it, is that you're saying you work on that figure over the MTF. So when the original budget was put together, that was the exchange rate, and that was utilized. Now, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, you can't change it as the exchange rate, changes. You just can't. Then it goes against the Act. So you keep it the same. That's the first one. The second point that the CFO is making with regard to the annual figure is that we say the difficulty that we're having is that the currency is at the moment so fluid that you look at it last week, it was 14 rand. This week, it is over 15 rand. So it makes it very difficult, because also what then comes into consideration is when exactly the payment happens.
That's the second point. The third point that you're raising about persistence in the department. I don't think that the department has had the need to have those systems introduced. But we, as members of Parliament, responsible for oversight, could make a proposal, as you made the other proposal earlier, Honourable Barbara, about combining a number of embassies. We can make the proposal, the department can go back and look at how practicable that is going to be for them. Now, having worked with foreign currency, one understands that it's very difficult to do that. Because when you have to report to the auditor, and you then have year 9.50, and here you have 13.50, and at another place you have 16.00, it just creates a nightmare with your auditing processes and explaining those processes to the auditor, because that's the auditor's work to do that. So what you're doing is that as the DGM, as CFO, then I'm going to conclude, and the CFO then summarizes it, as he said, for the financial year, they receive the extra amount of, what did you say, 720 million. Then for auditing purposes, it becomes a much more accountable exercise. Let's just hear if the, before you, Honourable Father, I noticed you, if the acting DG wants to add something? Not on this one. No, on this one. Let's finish this one. Honourable Father, are you on the same one?
Yes, Chief, and just the socialist, communist, I don't know what you call it, but anything. Because I never heard of a capitalist, socialist, communist all in one, because it's difficult to explain. But Chairperson, what I'm just trying to say is, as I've been involved in country trading for a long time, and the one thing that I need to get clear, if you work on 9.50 to the US dollars when you put all these things together, does this mean salaries as well? Because this will have a very huge impact on salaries of people sitting, for instance, in London at this stage. Your staff that's sitting there, if you budgeted their salaries on 9.50, by now these guys are just eating like 2 minute noodles in the afternoon. Because there won't be any, you know, I mean, if you look at the fluctuation according to what the currency of the pound is by now, if you determine the salaries on the US dollar as then, it must be very difficult for them, that you adjust the salaries according to this. I just need to know that as well.
Okay. Let's have Honourable Father, Honourable Lord, as the last one on this matter.
Last to request that if they come to us again, we can delve a bit more into this, because just quickly looking at the figures and the extra amount that gets allowed for the fluctuations, and it just doesn't make sense at the moment. Also, I won't put you on the pressure now to answer the month-on-month expenses, but it's not an unreasonable request. I mean, it's something that should be quite easily accessible to say, oh, let me see what my expenses were this month and the next month. If you say you cannot find something like that, then we have a serious, serious problem. So I'm not going to put you on pressure to answer that now, but I do think that we need to ask the department to come back and look at this aspect amongst others. You can decide what else, but that's a proposal, because I don't think that's an unreasonable request. And if you say it's split over a year, I'm not going to be happy with that. You should be knowing every month what your expenses are.
Yes, your responses.
I think as I indicated, that the budget for the federation, it is a work that is done and approved by the treasurer. So they give us to say this is the right that you must use. And for that which is the risk, they will say we'll give you one opportunity during the adjustment estimate, which is now, that you then recalculate your exposure in terms of foreign currency fluctuation. That even when there is appreciation of the rand, we then extend money to treasury. So that is the ratio that we have from a principal point of view. So currently, the exchange rate or the official that abroad or for international deposits abroad, we process it using the foreign currency. So if it's British, we then use the pound. We don't pay with that. So it means that we will be in how we plan. We plan in terms of the expenditure. But for the first 6 months, we need to bring it back within our budget. The money that we draw from trade shouldn't be then give us, as we have now know that the current exchange rate, dollar to the rand, is 15.94 as we say. We then have to put that in our projection in terms of the drop. As we were agreed with Mr. Fajar that the revision will be done to the adjustment estimate. So now we don't have the calculation in our respective offices. What we don't have here current is the breakdown for the spending. So we have that in terms of the spending. So we will should table that on our when we table our annual report to say this is how we have performed. And these are the reasons that attributed to this level of spending, which we'll be able to then have the consolidated reporting in terms of the factors that have impact in the way we then operate. So we have that information, but we need to work out in terms of how we work in that. In terms of the partners that we work with, we work with the South African Reserve Bank in terms of how we then transfer or funding to support our mission.
No, I'm not going to allow it on
this. In connection with what I thought, it's not a trick question. I'm not I'm trying
no,
to...
No, not because it's tricky, it's because we want to move on.
It's a charity check question. Otherwise, I cannot say I was listening, not knowing what I want to know.
My responsibility as chair is to make sure that we move forward. Therefore, I said, Honourable Papa, I'm sorry, on the launch, you're going to be the last one. There's nothing preventing you from engaging with the members once meeting is discussed. Can we then ask you to continue, please?
No, the question that why we have 46 or missions in the continent when we have done about 55 countries, it's basically that there's a couple of decisions that we should have all missions in the continent. But based on the money available, we were not able to have permanent offices. That still means that we don't have bilateral missions where we don't have. So this is basically to say we have offices in 46 cities, which include your embassy and also as well as the consulate general. So we've got a situation where in one country we've got two offices. So which is in Nigeria, we've got office in Abuja and Nambus. DRC, we've got office in Kinshasa and Lubumbashi. So we have that. So basically in terms of permanent presence, so there are matters that are in added, for instance, they are created to other neighboring countries. So we have permission in every country in the continent, including Morocco and Sahara, Western Sahara, the region.
With every country in the continent.
In fact, Honorable Chair members, as well, just to count it all, it should be noted that in 1994, we had only about 7 missions in the continent. It has grown to 46 plus 1, which is added to the multilateral and bilateral, to the AU and the country, and the nearest. And in fact, we are in the process of having a mission in the sea, in CAP, Central African Republic. So, but of course, given the circumstances, the pace might not be as much as that. But this is the highest number of missions or positions when it is compared to that. And if I can pass on this one, there was a question on the changing global environment in which we indicated that new trade trend in trade and economic patterns show that Asia and the Middle East surpass Europe as South Africa's number one trading partner. There was a question relating to this one. Yes, we would like to qualify this as for one thing for sure is that it is well known that South Africa's main export trading partners are the European Union, the US. But if you look at the trends now, if you look even at the metrics, you'll notice that in 1994, the trade with China was 1.1%, and is currently standing at 12%, which is by far the biggest. And if you look at next after Germany, then you have Japan. Already we're talking about only two states in the bloc, and we've not come to the rest of it. If you look at trends as they grow, I mean as they show, you notice that the trade in this with Asia and Middle East is surpassing that of Europe in that context. In this case, we look at both export and import trade, because most of South Africa's finished to find their way in markets such as in the etc. We are not discounting the fact that it's like we are using a benchmark, because the traditional trade partners was like that. But there is an emerging trend, which if you look from this point of view of just looking at the trend, then you notice that there is a fast pace of trade with Asia and Middle East. And if I may to put an India order, if you take India down the scale and add it up with China and then Japan, and it will then complete the whole picture. So it is on this basis that as we do our scenario analysis, we also look at the trend, what happens most, etc., etc. I'm not sure if I've covered this one. There was the COS answer, and there was a reference to a proposal from the director planning, which I believe she can handle that.
Thank you so much, DG. The reference to the ECOSOC is that we, our mission particularly, are paying attention to the ECOSOC meeting. So it's not necessarily the work that happens here, but it's our representation. Thank you.
Honorable members, can we go for a second round? I know this honorable about that. Can I get an indication if there's any other member? Honorable Chere, then I'm going to allow Honorable Faber as well. If you stood on with that question to raise it in the session. Let's have it in that sequence. Honorable Bada, Honorable Tebe, Honorable Fa.
I greet all of you and assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much, Chair. Let's begin very simply. The budget that is allocated to your department is 5.8 billion. I'd like some idea of what percentage this is of the total budget of the honorable province. The reason I'm asking this question is to put us into perspective so that we can relate this with what budget allocations are being made. Example, in health, which is roughly 10%, or education, which is around 7%, and so forth. This can help something. I noticed that there was a hint of pride when the Director General mentioned the fact that he has the second most number of consuls overseas. I'm just wondering, what is it that we are, what is it that justifies this situation and this position of ours? Where do we stand in the top 10 countries, for example, in the world that are, have visitors traveling outside their country for whatever reasons that might be? Figures or the tables of this nature helps to give us an understanding. I don't see it coming across. Kevin, the DG did mention in his last bit of input, you mentioned that you look at the number of visitors traveling from South Africa to countries. For example, you mentioned Germany, Japan, and so on. We need something like that also in the presentation, because when we see from the presentation, then we appreciate that, yes, you are looking at these issues. You're not just working at random, because the original presentation did not bring that across, and I have these notes made in front of me, because it's very simple. We need to know the most number of people from South Africa visiting, and the consuls that are there, are they adequate, are they sufficient for what we're getting in return for our investment in that particular consul? That brings me then to the next point, you've mentioned that trade is growing with the Middle East and Asia. So that then begs the question, is what are we doing, is our consulate in these areas, provata, are they in ratio with us? And then when we are spending and when we do have consuls, what are we getting back from that particular mission or the region that that mission is serving? So I'm saying, okay, for example, what is it bringing back for us in terms of business? What is it bringing back for us in terms of tourism? So that we get something back, the investment that we're making in your department. Brings it also to my next issue or question which I'm raising. You know, it's fine for us to have a program that is looking at assisting neighboring countries with socioeconomic development, etc. But you know, we must understand that we can only assist people outside if we have the example at home. I mean, something like 80% of our own population is in socioeconomic distress. Then, what kind of examples can you then set in other countries? So it's something that you should just keep in mind. Before I continue, I would like to just touch very briefly on the issue of so-called terrorism. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because this term should not be very loosely used, especially when you indicate that our trade is growing with the Middle East, and also we want to grow our trade in the rest of Africa. And most of, two-thirds of Africa's population are Muslim. And we must be very careful to understand that the so-called ISIS and Boko Haram, even Al-Shabaab, these organizations are not Muslim organizations. They actually have nothing to do with Islam. In fact, these organizations have been established by monopoly capitalists.
Because you're not raising the question.
I'm building up the question here.
Just get to the point. I did, when I started off, make the question. To say, members, let us just get to the question, then we can take more questions. So I'm not using it because you have the problem. I've said it when Honorable Faber raised concern about Honorable Ntebe, I did say that these are the questions that he has raised. But you're going on. I agree with you.
Okay.
What is your question on terrorism?
I'm coming to the question.
Please.
I'm coming to the question. I'm making it very clear that these so-called terrorist organizations have nothing to do with Islam, and that these have been established by monopoly capital organizations, and these are not necessarily from Europe, because they are also coming from Asia and other countries. What we need to do is be prepared, and this is the question I'm asking, is are we prepared for what is going to be happening in the United States at the moment, where because of the phobia that has been created, the chickens are coming home to roost in the United States, and they are about to elect as president of the country one Donald Trump, and are we prepared for that when it does arise? That is the question that I was building up to on the subject. But finally, on the Director General, regarding the laryngitis, you can talk to me after the meeting. Perhaps we have a very simple solution. Thank you, sir.
Donald Trump is called Judith Malema.
I noticed in the group dynamics, when we get exhausted, also in the house, then we become and intolerant with each other, which is a normal human behavior, but it's because we are sitting for too long. So can I ask you to be brief?
Okay, I think just on the terrorism, but I think we must appreciate the London people for rejecting the notion that Islamophobia should be projected as an election machinery. The issue that I wanted to raise, and we must applaud the department. They always send people who are very knowledgeable to speak to the select committee. We should appreciate that. The other is the one aspect that I left, and then we must appreciate that the state president took time to round off the SACU countries just to make sure that issues that I was raising earlier, therefore, are well catered in terms, because the reality that this mushrooming of political formation and power globally and domestically are not out of a vacuum. They are there because the power dynamics are now beginning to shift. One issue, South Africa is, like I indicated earlier, is the recipient of the bulk of migration in Africa and abroad. To what extent are we having a possibility of mitigating what we call economic migration? Because the majority of them become asylum seekers and refugees, and, but in case, instead they are economic migrants. And this issue is not, as we engage with our other African countries, we should be able to say, what is it that we do to ensure that we mitigate the... Thank you, Chair. I think I was brief.
Thank you, Honorable Baba. Yes, Chairperson. The question I want to ask, and it was just quickly going back to the US dollar situation. And I'm asking this because, as you know, my wife used to be at the Polish embassy where she worked. And they were paid in US dollars. So what's my question is, if we go and the question is, did you project the salaries, for instance, at the stage when the salaries was going to take half of dollars, at that stage? As, let's say, for instance, a person gets 100 US dollars per month, that he gets paid in US dollars, because at that stage, maybe if it was 10 rand or 950 per US dollar, and you say, okay, your salary is 100 US dollars, fine, now this guy is getting much more than the 100 US dollars. Or if he's now still getting 100 US dollars, for instance. This is what I'm trying to say. Are you paying them in the US currency, or are you paying them with a currency rate, as it is now in South Africa, quite say, for instance, in America, because obviously you've got living costs, etc., and different countries that's different. Can you explain to me that? Because I need to understand how people then paid according to South African currency structure and salaries, or are they being paid according to the salary structure, according to where they are in those countries, in what currency?
We have Honorable Mutimunya as the last person on questions, and then we're going to close the session.
Yes, a request that I want to make. Can we have a separate report on the African Resistance Strategy or function? I just need to apply myself to the details of the work that related to in that space. And the second part, the advocate woman was manipulated of Vegana. They are really the post power certificate, but then the rules were statistics and I'm going to be used them that are accountable to us. We know they can take it, but nobody can serve a fellow Vegana. It's a sport. It's important. We will not fail in Vegana for now.
Just on the question that he's raising about the African Renaissance Fund, we may want to request that you add to that also just some of the work that you are doing vis-a-vis NAPAD, because they're both in Africa. I recall one day when we met there in V227, Dr. Maloka, coming and talking to us just on South Africa's position within the SADC region. And I remember Honorable Van Lingen, and I was just repeating this to someone the other day, coming to me and saying, you know, the night before, the members don't know that, the night before, I got a call from our secretary saying, the Turco can't make a presentation tomorrow. You remember that one? And I said, who said so? They said, Dr. Maloka. I said, no, he's my friend. Let me phone him. And I phoned him. We had a conversation on the phone and said, this is all that we need. You've been working in SADC all along. Don't assume that we know what's going on. He came the next day, and when he was finished, he had a one-pager. Honorable Van Lennon responded that this was one of the
presentations that I really appreciated. So when we talk about our position in Africa, we are excited about it as members of Parliament. You go through it every day. And therefore we're saying that you have a choice through your parliamentary liaison officer to say that. When you work with tobacco, I have to say, can we schedule a special sitting on that? Where you come and make a presentation to the select committee, or do we just want to deal with it by you giving us a slippage? Okay, the secretary is just reminding me that he has communicated with you requesting that when you do your annual performance report to us, that you have it as an element of that report. Okay, so are you okay then? Let me deal with it that way, Honorable Junior. Let's then deal with the questions from Honorable Bauta and the one question from Honorable Taylor. If we can just run through it quickly, we normally finish at 1:15, so we run it back.
Just to confirm that the payment of foreign allowance and any other salary is done in the foreign currency. So there's no reduction on the profit for the employee. So the risk is carried by the government. So for that risk is carried by the government. And the budget, the first body billion to the 1.1 trillion budget presented by the Minister of Finance is less than 0.5%. So in terms of the priority of the funding, DECO, Presidency, Home Affairs, they are the ones who are the lowest recipient of an increase. So we are the ones who have endured the highest cut in terms of the budget reduction. In terms of priority on the resources that is available, we are last to consider.
Honorable members, thank you once more. I just want to go to the point, I've been the second host to missions, I believe, and I hope I understood the question. There has been a well understanding that there's a direct correlation between the number of countries with which we have bilateral relations and economic growth, trade on one end, as well as the acceptability of the country. Well, for the country that it does not have declared enemies, if I may put it that way. Every sphere of the world growth is able to interact with us based on our Ubuntu diplomats. It is to this effect that we then have more countries opening missions in our country, most of whom, and I'm just mentioning it, would rather choose us based on our infrastructure over and above what I said, and service other neighboring countries operating from us. So our short answer to that is that it is a reciprocation, basically, for that to happen. On the same fact, as I talked of this correlation, because we open missions in those countries in Asia and Middle East, for our own operations, we have divided the world into three: America and the Caribbean, Europe, and in fact, because they are part of the continent. America, Europe, and Caribbean, Asia, Middle East, and then Africa. So our missions are clustered in that context. For the mere fact that we have missions, both performing consular and diplomatic purpose is making it easy, even for issuance of visa, for specific reasons such as tourism, etc. So it is in this context that we believe that there is a relationship between our presence and then the tourism participation as well as trade in general. The other one is that indeed we will convey as a message to us about the real value. Thank you. So another one is that we do not define terrorism. We are in no way trying to do that. Only stating a phenomenon that is happening, in which case there are instances where we ourselves cannot pinpoint people, but the fact is that there is a situation in which the world is in a situation of flux that comes to the extent that there is no peace in some other parts of the world. And we as the country that values peace and security, we are only on the side of where we want a peaceful world. We started at the beginning that our outcome basically talks to the fact that we need a better world, a peaceful world. The peace we wish for ourselves, we wish for others as well. The rest, I believe, were covered by the CSO. We will, obviously, Honorable Chair members, append the, when we present the annual report, directly we will try to, we'll just do what we have asked to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Acting DG and your team. We appreciate sincerely, as has been adequately captured by Honorable Taylor, the quality of the responses that we get from you, as well as the quality of the reports that we get from you. It is a very important function that you are performing. We are struggling as to how do we do oversight over this department. It will take us a week to just go through your offices there in Pretoria, but we would want to say that when you do have the events like the one we're getting all the ambassadors together, don't forget the NCOP, because we are definitely benefit from those letters. Can we also say that in your public diplomacy issues, when you do have training events within the province, please make sure that you inform our secretary, because we are from provinces, and we very often, when we engage our constituencies, are confronted with an array of challenges about what the work is that you're doing for the country, and we would want to make sure that those people from our provinces participate in it. We are also aware that there are difficulties that you're having when members of municipalities and members of provincial governments decide to visit partners abroad, and if there's any way in which we can help you to chart a way through those difficulties, feel free to communicate via the office of our secretary, so that we are not only saying to you that there is the sea so many, but we say to you that we regret to accompany you in a disruptive part of our oversight, because then it helps us to understand the dynamics. Thank you very much. We'll ask you to just stay with us for a minute, and let us just adopt the minutes of our last meeting. Honourable members, I'm turning my attention to you then. It was a meeting that we had on the 4th of May, which was the presentation by the National Department of Tourism on its strategic plan and annual performance plan. The members present, Honourable Faber was not here, and his absence, his apology was noted. We had the presentation from the department then on page 2, 3, 4. And then on page 5, honourable members, are you with me? Because this is an important one. On page 4, we also looked at the Marrakesh agreement. And in that meeting, accepted the presentation for DTI on the matter. Okay, you're right. With the Marrakesh agreement having been adopted in that name. Honourable members, please help me. I remember Kruger sitting there at the bottom and the DG Lionel October sitting here and she coming to the front. Marwan. Help us please. I give you permission to speak.
Today there was two meetings, two items on the agenda, and one for the DGR, and then the agreement.
When we did tourism?
That's right.
When we did tourism, not when we did DGR?
Yeah, not DGR, it's the tourism.
When we did tourism?
Okay.
I don't get any contradictory response from the members, so Marrakesh is there. Sorry, is there. Marrakesh. It's the heading of the agenda that's wrong. Sorry, honourable members, I normally read the minutes the night before and communicate with Rebecca, but I couldn't read it, not at 7 o'clock last night. So there is a change. We ask you to just look on page 1. It is presentation by the Department of Trade and Industry. It's not tourism, trade and industry. There's amendment. Can I get a proposal for the acceptance of the minutes? Honorable Dikhale? Honorable Bowder, you want to say?
Chairperson, I want to say something.
Please?
Yeah, I want to quickly give you a go ahead on this minute because you give request to the department that whenever they have either trade or whatever, they must include the committee. But it is not here, they are responding that they will invite us. Especially that the institution allowance only.
No, you should have seen the head of the, I don't know what your title is, Moscosa? The chief director planning. She was shaking her head and saying, that's what we wanted to know.
Thank you very much. It's not for the
Are you therefore proposing acceptance of the minutes?
I am proposing the acceptance of the minutes.
Okay. Can we have somebody to second it, please? It's one of three members there. You were in the meeting. Proposals for the to second the acceptance of the minutes.
You want a second?
Yes, please.
I put a call.
Oh, well, I put it that way. I want to second that. Thank you very much. You see, when I have a double, I call it a double. I don't call it a second. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is dismissed.
Thank you.